Welcome, Nate Wallace, city manager of the city of Palmer. How are you doing today?
Morning. Good. It is a beautiful sunny day.
Wow, isn't it there? You've been out there. Tell us what it's really like.
Another normal, beautiful day in Palmer.
You know,
I'm probably going to be up in the 50s today. Streets are clean.
Oh, yes. Maybe.
Getting ready for the weekend.
Yeah, touching toward 59 in the weekend. We're expecting to see about 60 degrees. So this kind of temperature change, what does this do to you as you...
makes me happy.
It makes you happy because I have the feeling that that's a shared experience I know I have that feeling. Even this morning when it was a little bit cooler, walking across what we did notice at our home, because we have windows on each side, the windows to the east now early in the morning have sun just streaming in. And we looked around and said, wow, that makes a big difference, of course, as compared to January when it's dark and the lights in the house are streaming out, going the other way.
Yes.
So looking at Palmer here as we prepare for a lot of events that happen in the summer, we have Friday Fling beginning, for example, very soon.
May 18th.
May 18th.
Okay. I believe it's the Friday.
Yeah, it is.
The closest Friday to the 18th.
Right. Okay. Well, today's the 5th, 12th. Actually, I think it's the 19th. So this day is Cinco de Mayo. And so that's where we're going. Are there any Cinco de Mayo celebrations in Palmer, by the way?
None officially that I'm aware of. I'm sure there are a couple at the local establishments that are recognizing that event.
Right.
Yeah, there is the car show this weekend.
Talk about that.
Started lining up cars yesterday. Show opens today. It goes through the weekend at the MTA Event Center. So if not the biggest, one of the biggest indoor car shows in Alaska. But it's not just indoors. There's so many cars, they spill over into the parking lot. Hot dogs, hamburgers, it's a free event for the public.
Now, and I noticed that that's been a feature that has been, how many years now?
I don't know. The city did a resolution of support for that event to keep the MTA Event Center available for them for the first weekend in May for, I believe, 4 or 5 years. The events picked up some sponsors over the years. I think I saw the flyer that said 3 years, but they've been doing it for a good long time.
Right, right. I sort of penciled that into my calendar and tend to go over and look at it. It's interesting. It does spill over into the parking lot. There's certainly an opportunity inside to wander about and look at a variety of vehicles.
It's not just a single type car show. I mean, some car shows are just for muscle cars. Some are for the antique cars. This one has a little bit of everything.
Yeah, this is good. Okay. So that's a kickoff. And I know that later in the summer, we also have a downtown display of vehicles that happens. The street is actually sort of closed off in the area south of the red flashing light.
Yes, I don't know if they change the name each year, but usually it's in August, hot August nights, I believe they call it.
Right.
Same organization, 49th Street Rodders. And they do events throughout the year or throughout the summer all over. I'd like to think they call Palmer home, but they do have events in other places. But that's a big one in the car show here that kind of kicks off the season are the two big car show events.
Right.
And then they have weekend drive-arounds where they start at one location. They have a rally of sorts throughout the area. So it's if you enjoy cars or like to take a step back, that is a good event to participate in.
Okay. Well, more and more cars, of course, are just driving on the streets of Palmer. We notice that as the summer brings people in. There are, in addition to the events we've talked about, Friday Fling and the car shows, there are also there are events special to Palmer. Colony Days comes up pretty soon.
June 9th, 10th.
Right.
Weekend, that's coming up. That's probably the next big one.
Okay.
The Scottish Games, again, call the State Fairgrounds in Palmer home now. So it's not a big international event like last year, but I believe it's June 24th. They'll be in town. That's another good event for the city. crosses okay. thousands.
Okay.
Midsummer Garden Fair is another one that's coming up. So that's another big event for Palmer, held on the quad, and that's in July. And then, of course, the State Fair, that kind of caps off the season and at the end of August, early September. So there's something going on every month, and I don't want to call them little events, but there are other events that don't necessarily draw thousands, but draw hundreds to the town when they have those here in town.
Okay, and of course, we're just coming off an event, Who Let the Girls Out, which has taken on a life of its own. And my conversations with some of the people running businesses along downtown Palmer's Main Street, it was very successful this year.
I think so. I think it's grown every year. I don't know if this one, with the train last year, I'm not sure this one grew, but it was definitely just as big as those in the past.
Right.
I heard there were 400 of the stamp sheets where you'd go to each business or participant to get a stamp. There was 400 passed out and 200 plus that were completely filled in, I believe.
Okay.
Or at least turned in. And then there's the 5K run the Friday night had upwards of 300 runners, from my understanding.
And that's a spinoff from something that I noticed because people run right by our home, and it's the Monday evening run that started, I don't know how long ago, but at 6 p.m. now, I sort of set my our time by it because we see the first few and then a whole string of runners that have taken to running on Monday evening at 6, and they do various distances, but it's been persistent through the winter, and now that summer is there, there seems to be more people doing that as well.
It's a year-round event, that's for sure. Come sleet or snow, they're out there walking on Mondays, and it has grown, and it's one of those things that we support, of course, but it's gotten to be so big that it's really shining a light on some of the areas in town where you can actually have that event without putting people at risk. Just because it's grown so much, so it's a cooperative effort trying to keep that group going, and they'll keep them safe as well. But I think for those in town, they recognize it as an event, and it happens on Monday, so they're watching for it. As the summer months come along, we have a lot of visitors that may not be aware that there's I don't want to call it a mob, because they are very well behaved, and they again sure. it's a great group, but it is a large group. That if you're not aware of what it is, you might scratch your head.
Because it's, I wonder.
It's gets in the hundreds of folks that are out there walking around.
So
just a shout out to those folks. There's when you walk by the airport the next week, there is some controlled burning, so you might want to take a face mask or handkerchief to get by that area. So there will be some smoke around the airport.
So if someone wants to do an event, they have to get a permit of some sort. What are the guidelines for that kind of thing? I mean, you can't just say, oh, I'm going to invite a few hundred of my good friends and we're going to go running through the streets of Palmer.
Yes, a lot of it's awareness for the city staff. There's a permit process, and it's not very restrictive unless you want to close roads. And then and there's a little more analysis. But if your event's going to stay on the sidewalks or on bike paths, it's just a matter of really informing the city. And we do have support equipment. There's cones available. We don't advertise that very well. It came up during the Board of Economic Development, the group that put on the run Friday night for Who Let the Girls Out, would like to do more events. And they went through the process, but it's just on our permit sheet. It doesn't say, do you need support of any kind other than traffic control or closing roads. Well, traffic control can be more than just having a police officer at an intersection.
Right.
It can be cones. So we're reevaluating that process and how we can better advertise for those groups that want to do runs or marches and things like that. We do have more than just sidewalks to support those events.
Okay.
But there is a process, and it's not too complicated. It's reviewed by the police department. It's reviewed by Public Works, and it's reviewed by the community development. Community development, if you want to use a pavilion or something else, they check and see to make sure it's available. So it's pretty simple. You just come to City Hall or either one of those three places, you can get the form, and then you can walk it to each department yourself, or you can leave it with wherever you picked it up, and they'll forward it to the next group.
Okay. So because the snow has gone away and the street has been, streets and sidewalks are in the process of being swept, I noticed that. The next thing that's going to be happening is painting of guidelines, and I look forward to that because I find them to be very helpful. I know there was a discussion, there has been discussion at the council level about ways in which that bike trailing could be more clearly pointed to by adding some paint directions and so on. Is that going to be happening this year? So we'll see some better guidelines about how to get from here to there if you're on a bike or walking, et cetera.
Yeah, we haven't painted bike lanes for a while, so that's our focus. Of course, safety for crosswalks, the making sure the school kids can get to school. So the priority is still to the crosswalks for the school routes, and then downtown. But the they've been marking, Public Works has been measuring and marking start and finishes for bike lanes, and the contractor that we have that does crack sealing also does our line painting. So that'll kick off next week with some of the crack sealing. Some of the roads temperatures are warm enough now that
they can
be crack sealed, and the other pieces they can be painted, and the paint will stay and not peel up like you see it sometimes on the Glen Highway.
Right.
Long white strips of paint that are floating in the median, but that starts next week.
Okay.
But the and there's been some suggestions on types of crosswalks and to make them stand out. And Palmer's. I don't want to say culture, but our basis started as a government city. It's very well planned. We aren't a Victorian community, so a lot of folks suggested, well, let's paint our crosswalks with colorful art, like they do in Boston or somewhere, some other place like that. Well, that's not necessarily Palmer with that type of thing. So it's an industrial government type. So you'll see the white crosswalks, yellow crosswalks, bold lines, but we aren't going to go to the extreme of painting fish or migrating fish as a crosswalk, although it does fit with Alaska and some of our community, but that does come with additional cost, and I'd rather paint more crosswalks as opposed to a few colorful, inviting ones. So it's, that's what we're balancing those two.
But so in determining crosswalks, this is often a negotiation and a discussion with the Department of Transportation or some other groups, or can you decide to put crosswalks, or add some more or whatever? How does that work?
As long as it's a city street, we can put them anywhere we want.
Okay.
But that comes with risk. I go back to the intersection at Cobb and Evergreen. That is it's an ideal place to put a crosswalk for the nature of the way people, where they need to go.
Right.
But it's not a good place to put a crosswalk that's uncontrolled. I can paint white lines that go from City Hall to Silva Insurance, but that doesn't mean cars will always stop.
Right.
They have to, but that's such a major thoroughfare. It's a four-lane road at that point. If there's a car turning, another car may not see if there's somebody in the crosswalk. And again, just because we have a crosswalk doesn't protect the individual that's in it. So there is a balance on safety, putting walkers at risk just because there's a white line. So we look at having crosswalks at controlled areas that have at least a stop sign or a blinking red light, putting them in places where you can see from all lanes of traffic. So that would be really from Vagabonds to Just So. There's a stop sign as you come in, but there's not a stop sign on Alaska.
Right.
But it's narrow enough where that if you're in the crosswalk, you can be seen by oncoming traffic. So there's things that we like that we take into consideration. And we're looking at how we can put crosswalks not in high traffic uncontrolled places like Evergreen and Cobb, but down the road on Colony at the intersection of Fireweed, where Fireweed comes into Colony. That's uncontrolled. But there's enough, we think, visibility where we can either put up a sign or a flashing light of some sort to at least make that crosswalk stand out. So that's really how we evaluate where we put crosswalks. And again, a lot of them are already established, so it's just a matter of repainting those.
Okay, what I've also noticed is that there's been a lot of cutting of brush in the field area that is at the east end of the crosswind, or the west end of the crosswind runway at the airport. That's this side here by
the Rimple, at the end of Rimple Avenue.
Right, at the end of Rimple, yes. And that is just south of the Catholic Church parking lot.
Yes, so the neighbors to the that park area or that open space is actually part of the airport. It's outside the fence, but it's actually part of the airport. So the city owns it, but it's still airport property. And there's been discussions, over, especially recently, about turning that into a green space park. And we are moving that direction, but not rapidly. The neighbors to that park, the churches, have taken on some of that space to keep it mowed down so that it's, that okay. it's functional. It's really close to the parking lot. And they use it for a picnic area, but it's open to the public. Now, the rest of the area, we're going to be clearing some obstacles this summer as part of the airport update runway project. There's trees there that are they're encroaching into airspace that have to come down. So that work will go on this year. With the some of the airport work, some of the fill will go in there to make that a little more level.
Mm-hmm.
So step by step, we're preparing it to be a future park, a future managed, maintained green space, but it's going to be a couple of years. We're also looking at potentially having somebody hay farm or grass farm that area for a couple of years to get the ground prep, get it level. And then there last year, they just leave it with the grass or something so that the city can then come in. And it's ready. It's flat. It's level. And then it's ready to either put in walkways, pathways, or things like that. So it's long-term, it's going to be something. Short-term, that will be you'll see things going off and on in that area. The other piece is the arboretum is being cleaned up. There's been a huge pile of brush that's kind of been hidden by the old building that was taken down. The building coming down, that huge brush pile should be disappearing this week or early next week. It's going to finally get, we're going to haul it off out. To
right. I saw some work being done there yep. to make that happen.
That whole corner at the, where the old UAF building is going
to. So the trail the dirt trail that runs along the fence to the fire station training area, that will become a upgraded trail?
Our intent is to gravel it this year. Level it and put some gravel down, not necessarily pave it. We're looking at other areas throughout the city, working with some other folks to kind of prioritize based on how much a project would cost. If you want to, basically the going in estimate is $80 a foot for a paved 10-foot gravel bed, 8-foot paved path. And the reason we go with that size is because it's less cumbersome to plow something that size.
Right.
You just take a normal plow truck as opposed to an ATV with a plow. Behind an ATV.
But that would be a non-motorized trail.
It'd still be a non-motorized.
Okay.
But it would be a trail.
Okay.
But the first step is to level and gravel, and that's what we're looking to do this year.
Just do one quick circle back to clear in my mind what is meant by the what appears to be a airport interest in that area at the beginning of the runway. But the city owns the land, but you also have the church and you have some private people and you may even have some right of way with some street that goes through there. Is that a complicated piece of property?
Depends on what side you're looking at. The city has not vacated any of that property.
Okay.
But we have agreement in place with the church. It means a formal agreement with the church.
Okay.
To maintain that, it's still city property. They will maintain. They will. They aren't required to do anything, but they've asked to maintain it. So we've gone into an agreement with the church. The road there is platted. It goes between the senior, I think it's Two Jacket States,
right,
and the old senior center.
Right.
So that's it's a road. It's just not used very often, but it's a road. So that's not an issue. Nobody's really built on that road. Some trees have been planted in the right of way for that, and if that becomes a more formal road, those trees will have to come down.
Okay.
But the and then the private where all those homes are, again, that's the same way. It's not an easement. It's city property.
Okay.
It has not been vacated. I don't know that anybody assumes that that's their property either. You can see there's some mow a little deeper than others.
Right.
But there's definitely the stakes are visible when you go out there. In the summer, the stakes are visible for the property line, especially with the arboretum, because that's a separate piece from the airport.
And the arboretum has received quite a bit of attention, and I know there are various service groups that are looking toward helping clean it up, et cetera. Is that all worked with the city, or who's the person in or the group in charge of the Arboretum?
Well, again, it's a city property, but there's a Friends of the Arboretum organization. It's a private organization, the volunteers that come out, and they once a year give it a good thorough cleaning prior to Arbor Day, and then maintain it throughout the city or throughout the year. The city does mow it. It's on our mowing schedule. It's not one that gets mowed every week, but it does get mowed every now and then.
Okay.
From the city perspective, if somebody wants to come talk to the city about it, community development as part of our parks would be the point of contact, Sandra Garley. The Arboretum folks, I'm not sure who the lead is, but Lamar Anderson, I know, is one that's been heavily involved in that. And there have been many others. So those that are part of that group, I apologize if I've overstepped, but he is on our Board of Economic Development, so I see him quite often just on that basis. So I do know he's involved. But.
Yeah, and I think that's been it's been there for so long, and in some people's minds it's been sort of neglected because there hasn't been a kind of a regular work with it. So each year it would be trimmed, or even the dead branches removed, and all the rest of that happening. And it appears that that's coming closer to being the case, in part because I think it's become more visible with the removal of the other buildings in that area. You now notice it as an arboretum there. So.
Yes, for now. That corner lot won't be vacant much longer, from my understanding.
Oh,
I think that it's been purchased, and that was part of that whole agreement with the state. The purchaser, depending on what was found when they took the building down, if there was no issues, then the purchase would go through, and I believe it has.
Oh, okay. Well, something will be built there.
Eventually.
Yeah. Eventually, right. Well, since we've begun talking about buildings, let's go to a favorite. We're Fred Meyer's long done and operational, et cetera. The health clinic operated by a hospital located next to City Hall. Looks so close, but it's not quite yet operational.
Not quite yet. I've heard two different times on when that's going to open. One was spring, which is here. The other is late summer, early fall. And by looking through the windows, I think maybe summer is probably the direction they're going. There's folks in there. It looks like the construction's done, but I think now they're at the point where they're installing some of their equipment, equipment. So,
okay.
It's the exterior's done. The parking lot's done. Yeah, it's just a matter of getting the right equipment.
So close, right. Okay.
No word on Fred Meyer.
You anticipated
Jump the gun on that one. I know there's been lots of discussion on what folks would like to see there. Again, it's not a city facility. The city would love to see retail go in there, just from the perspective of keeping our sales tax revenue growing. But on the other hand, why not have that a community center? It doesn't generate revenue to the extent that a retail facility was, but that could be another use. But the price tag is way beyond anything the city could do at this point. I believe it's still a $6 million price tag on that. So it'd be premature for the city to look at doing anything with that building at this point, just because it's only been vacant for months. We keep our eye on it. We don't want it to become an eyesore to the city, or to turn into something like the Matt Made property, where it just becomes overgrown over time and then becomes harder and harder to use. But that one's coming back. The Pickers, Alaska Pickers, are going to be opening soon in that square.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Matanuska Brewery. They've already started moving equipment. So I think their plan is to open up their facility this summer. So that will be developed. We just don't want to see the old Fred Meyer turn into something like that.
Oh,
where
sure.
It looked like over the years. So it's, I don't want to say the city's saying no to being a community center. It's just at this point in time, it's not something the city can afford. And I think it's premature for government to look at that when there's opportunities for retail to go there.
And we have a minute or two left. Let's just remind people about what's happening with the runway and the wastewater treatment facility. Both those are big projects, multi-million-dollar projects.
Yes, I'll start with the easy one, which I think is easy at this point. The way the process is working is the runway project is now out for bid. We expect that to be about a $10 million project, funded 93% by the federal government.
Huh?
So the city provided a 3% match, and the state provided, through a grant years ago, the rest of the other 3%. So that's moving along. The FAA has approved all our requested upgrades, provided the grant will cover it. It's the bulk of the project is repaving our longest runway. It's been 40 years. Usually those things have a 20-year lifespan, and ours has gone for almost 40 years. So it's time to be done. But there was a lot of discussion on making it shorter. FAA agreed to fund it for as long as it is, so that will keep the ability for the forestry to fly big planes, and then for anybody else that wants to fly larger planes in and out of our airport, they can.
Okay.
The rest of the work are safety improvements, taking down trees, as I mentioned earlier, that have grown into the airspace, improving some of our aprons, and then enlarging some of our parking areas. So that's out for bid. It closes May 18th. I just had a pre-conference and had several folks come in that ask questions and get clarification on that. So we think we're going to get a good selection of contractors to bid on that, which keeps it competitive in our mind. The more complicated one is the wastewater treatment plant. Of course, we're under a federal consent decree that we worked out with the EPA and the state on timelines. And our first timeline was to select a contractor. That process has been done. It's taken us several months to get through that because the original bids came in much higher than the engineer estimate, much higher than we thought. And then because of it was over budget, working with USDA, rescoped the project a little bit, sent an addendum out, and now we've got a contractor that's a single low bidder through the process. Goes to the council Tuesday for a contract award, pending funding. There's still a couple of little hoops we still have to go through with USDA to get the $8 million that they've offered through a grant loan, but it's moving along. We really just need to get it settled, the admin portion, so we can start breaking ground. At this point, we hope late May and maybe early June, get through this season, and then next year have our first water running through the new upgrades.
And this will be, we could use the term state-of-the-art facility in the borough, unmatched by any other community, or what?
In the borough, yes. I believe Eagle River has a system that's similar.
Okay.
So it's not new technology, but it's compared to the system we have, it is a huge leap in technology. Ours right now is just natural treatment.
Okay.
It goes into a pond. The bacteria that's natural in the water, the sunlight that kills the stuff it's supposed to kill, and then the solids settle in the lagoons, and then it goes through a UV building that zaps the rest of the bacteria in fecal coliform, and then it's sent out into the river. So this will actually have it's still natural treatment, but it's in a concrete basin, so all of the good bacteria is concentrated in a pit instead of over the several thousand square feet pond. So the bacteria acts much faster.
Okay.
Knocks the ammonia down, which is our problem. And then, of course, it'll go back into the lagoons. Future state is to have big, huge tower. Not huge. They're big, big towers. When I say big, probably I think they're 20 feet tall, which are basically filters. They'll filter out the solids.
Okay.
And then the water goes from those towers to the UV building and then goes into the river. And then the solids then are collected and dried.
Well, it's good.
Processed.
It sounds good.
But expensive. So
truth. True that.
So we're taking it in phases now. The first phase will be the MBBR, which is a micro bed bioreactor. And the reactor piece is basically the floating plastic balls in a concrete pit. And the plastic balls allow the bacteria. So the reaction is between the bacteria that's in the pit with the other ingredients that come through sewage.
Oh.
So it's not some of the folks. Well,
we're going to have a whole program focused on this.
So it's not like a nuclear reactor or anything like that. It's just the reactor verbiage comes from the bacteria reacting amongst themselves.
Okay. All right. Well, I think we've covered quite a bit of ground here in this spring-like day, moving into summer. Any last comments you'd like to make before we finish up?
Now, as we discussed, a lot of the road work, of course, it is summer, so there is other road work going on. The state will be working on the Palmer Wasilla Terminus. That work will start anytime. The city will be doing crack sealing and sidewalk painting. We'll be doing some dust control throughout the summer. So as you see the folks in the streets with their vests and signs and flags, give them the ground, keep them safe so that we can continue to improve our streets.
Okay. Well, thank you, Nate Wallace, Palmer City Manager, for coming in today for another insight into Inside the City. Have a good day.
Thanks, you too.